You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Excellent, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm Keith Reza. My trusty sidekick, Alan Lee, is in New York on vacation, so all the other guys that usually sub in weren't available. So I brought in RJ.
Oh, no. Last on the list.
Last on the list. I'm scared to say your name wrong on air, so why don't you like tell the folks your name?
No, you got it right. RJ Signs.
Okay, RJ Signs.
It's like Stains without the T and Signs, but spelled completely differently.
Yeah, excellent. RJ opens up for me every now and then, and he's very, very funny, and I thought he would do perfect for this guest because you actually told me you're a big fan of the guest that we're about to call.
And who's that?
Eugene Merman.
Who's that guy?
What? That's what you told me.
I love Eugene, obviously. He's a very funny comedian. I grew up watching him and like Patton Oswalt, and that's why I love stand-up comedy.
You know what's weird is I've written Eugene's reps to do the show for like 5 years. They always say no.
Yeah.
And then I get a producer to do it. They say yes.
It's producers, man, that's the way into it.
It's like, oh man, I don't know, but yeah, so that's gonna be fun. I should probably mention some shit. If you guys like the show, you should subscribe, rate, and review, and like us on Facebook, Instagram at Razor Riffs. Sam, the director, he's like, you gotta get the reviews up, man. You know, and I was like, anyways, forget. And then like I'm performing at the Rec Room along with RJ.
Hey.
In Huntington Beach on August 24th. And you can buy tickets at www.recroomhb.com with Angelo Zarukas as headlining. So those are our shows we're promoting. And now let's promote the guest that I'm about to call, Eugene Merman, guys. I love Eugene. He's headlining the Dynasty Typewriter in L.A. Do you know where that is?
I do not know where that is
at
all.
It's a very cool venue. It's like a theater, and there's a piano there.
Ooh.
Yeah. I want to go on Wednesday, July 18th. The Typewriter in L.A. It's the Dynasty. And he also has headlining shows this summer in Denver, Fontana, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle. And Eugene Merman voices Gene on Bob's Burger. I thought his name was Eugene on Bob's Burger too.
No, it's just Gene.
Gene.
Gene Belcher.
Yeah. But I thought like that was part of like the joke because his name's Eugene in the.
You know, I'm sure there's some connection there, and I would be surprised if there isn't.
But that's a great question we could ask Eugene.
We are just seconds away from finding out ourselves. Yeah. There's no more mystery in the universe.
Yeah. So I'm excited, and it's gonna be fun. And I got another email about all the other shows that I got. So the 18th, he's in L.A. at the Dynasty Typewriter. The 7th of August, he's at Fort Collins, Colorado at Washington's. August 8th, he's in Denver, Colorado at the Oriental Theater. The 9th, he's in Portland at the Aladdin Theater. I wonder if Jafar is there.
Ooh.
That's cool.
Definitely a genie.
Yeah. And then the 10th, he's at Seattle at the Moore Theater. And he's the Sub Pop 30th anniversary show. And he has a website at www.eugenemerman.com. Has Twitter and all that stuff. So it's going to be fun. I love Eugene. And actually very nervous because he's actually one of my favorite comics. And whenever I interview my favorite comics on the phone, it always like, I don't know. Like, I wish I could meet him.
Well, like, maybe because today's Friday the 13th, it's going to be, like, reverse bad luck.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, right.
So, really, you know, it should be going wrong, but because everything's so spooky, hunky-dory, you know, you just might end up sounding okay.
Yeah, all right. That's true, right? It is Friday the 13th. And then I should have connected the phone. I'm not very good with these laptops. Or this isn't even a laptop.
It's just technology in general.
You know, they think people with Asperger's are great at laptops and technology. I'm not.
Well, you were pre-technology teen. Didn't really get to use the laptops that much. And now you're screwed. You're just like an 80-year-old woman knowing her way around the internet.
I'm not that old.
What's an Instagram?
It sounds exactly like my grandma.
Oh, I thought it sounded just like you.
Is this working? It says it's connected.
Hello?
Hey, Eugene, it's Keith Reza.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for doing it, pal.
Sure.
Yeah. I get scared on doing phone interviews because I have Asperger's syndrome, so I can't read social cues very well over the phone. So please don't hang up if it's bad.
I definitely won't hang up.
Worst case scenario, just send some Morse code saying please send help, and maybe we'll be able to pick up on that.
I'm sure we'll figure out something. Don't worry.
Yeah. This is my trusty sidekick, RJ. RJ's a huge fan of yours, too. I told him you were doing the show, and he was like, I want to do it. I was like, all right.
I quit my vacation to come do this interview, so I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. Well, you can just go back, right? Or you were far?
No, it actually worked out perfectly. I was in Santa Barbara for the weekend, and he's like, hey, you want to do this interview? And I was like, well, of course. Yeah, and now tonight I'm getting on another plane. So just perfect little intermission.
From where?
Sounds excellent.
Oh, from where? Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to be going to the East Coast, the Outer Banks area. You know where that is, in North Carolina?
Yeah. Eugene.
Oh, kind of, actually.
Yeah, Eugene's in New York right now.
Oh, that's...
No, I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, really?
Oh, very fun. I love Massachusetts. Where in Massachusetts?
I'm on Cape Cod.
Ooh. My sister lives in, Wenham in Beverly, that area. So every now and again,
near
we go
Boston.
Yeah, kind of just I think 15, 20 miles north of Boston, but really nice area.
Okay. Eugene, in all your albums, you always mention performing in Boston or Chicago and stuff. Do you prefer performing in that area a lot more than in the Pacific? Because I know you're doing...
No, not at all. Actually, I'm from Boston, so probably just that's where things had happened to me.
Uh-huh.
And then one album I recorded in Chicago, and another one I recorded in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
So and then maybe some in New York, and then I think a few in New York.
Yeah, and you're doing L.A. on Wednesday. I'm trying to get a work off so I could go because I've always wanted to see you live.
Well, great. Yeah. Wednesday would be a good time.
Yeah, because that's when you're in where I'm at.
There.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Do you also do recording for Bob's Burgers and stuff in New York, East Coast area, or do it in LA also?
I used to do it in New York, but actually now I record in Boston because I'm close. That's closest to me. But we record all together on an ISDN line. So I call in from Boston, other cast members call in from New York, and others are in LA. So we all do it together at the same time from those three cities.
Oh, that's cool. You do it on the phone, kind of like this?
Well, on ISDN line, so it's it's instantaneous. Yes, it's a super high-end phone, good enough to record audio to broadcast.
Oh.
When I was doing post-production, video production stuff, we would do that if we had voiceover work and someone was in Chicago or something. So it's just crystal clear audio as if you were here in the studio talking on the phone. But obviously, you can have the benefits of that, comics, actors all over the globe.
So have you met all your Bob's Burgers co-stars, or you just talked to them?
Oh, yeah. I've actually known many of them and Lauren, who created the show, for 15, 20 years. Oh, yeah,
that's cool, because my adopted uncle is Patrick Warburton. He does a lot of voiceovers, and he told me when he did The Emperor's New Groove that he never met David Spade, and then he did a show with him 10 years later. So.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that for us, we do a show every week and we've done it for, however many years.
Yeah.
So, I don't always meet every guest star that's on the show, but in terms of the main cast, we see each other all the time.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's always press tours and stuff, and every now and then a convention or something. So,
Comic-Con.
Yeah, we're going to Comic-Con. I'm actually doing the show in L.A. because I'm going to be in Comic-Con for Bob's Burgers the following week.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Or the following day. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it the L.A. Comic-Con or the San Diego Comic-Con?
No, the San Diego one.
Oh, that's a great Comic-Con, man. Everyone's there.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to go to those all the time.
And, not so much anymore.
Yeah, I hadn't gone till Bob's, but I love it. I love going there.
Yeah. Do you like other comics, or do you just do it because you like Bob's and you're on Bob's?
Well, it's... Part of it is we go for Bob's, but I love comic books and I love sci-fi and fantasy. So, I collected comic books as a kid and still read a lot of graphic novels and stuff now. So, you know, for me, going to Comic-Con is super fun. Like, I adore going.
Yeah.
So I guess the real question is, did you like Infinity War?
I did like Infinity War.
That's
some people get mad at it for some reason.
No, I loved it. I just thought it was an obvious, like, yeah, if you like comics, I'm sure you have some opinion about that movie.
Yeah. I did. I loved Infinity War. And I saw, last night, I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, and that was great.
Oh, that was great?
I liked the first one. It was a fun romp.
Yes. Yes, it is a good romp.
I liked the Spider-Man one with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, that one just came out,
right?
Was that
the original? Was that sort of the one that came out in the early 2000s?
Yeah, I thought that one was awesome.
Yeah.
But, Eugene, have you ever thought about making, like, with your stand-up, a comic book? You know?
Huh. Not specifically, no. I've barely written scripts, and I don't exactly know how to write a comic. So I've used, like, paintings and illustrations in my stand-up, but I've never done illustrations of my stand-up.
Yeah. Well, because the reason I asked that is because, like, when I was a kid, when I started doing stand-up, you were, like, one of the first comedians, actually. I don't know if you know this, but you did, like, skits, and you put them on your website, EugeneMerman.com.
Yep.
And you sung like songs, you know what I mean? Like Blister in the Sun.
I had like sort of flash animation of me as a baby singing classic rock songs.
Yeah.
And I also had videos. This is also before YouTube, so there wasn't really a place to share videos. So I
made
little videos and put them on my website. Yeah.
Yeah. And your website, when I was in high school, it was like my favorite website because it was just so funny. And you had like all these videos, like a sex advice. I'm a sex port and stuff. So what I'm saying is, like, you could take that exact same format and use, you know, your jokes in it. I think it would be hilarious.
I'll take it under consideration.
I'll start the GoFundMe and pitch in.
I'm curious about the market for people who's reading a comic book saying, you know what, this needs stand-up comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be the best comic book ever.
Too much crime solving, not enough observation.
These illustrations are too colorful. Yeah. Let's just take it down to a minimal theater.
And then I love your album, God is a 12-year-old boy with Asperger's, and I just tell everyone I was the 12-year-old boy he was talking about so I could feel like we're connected.
You know, it would almost time out, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, but I don't have like religious views like that, like that.
Right, right.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. I don't know that he was religious. I think he just was, I think, reasonably confused why I didn't accept him as my God.
Certainly that is some form of religious view.
Yes, yes. I guess it's a very broad religious interpretation. We're your God.
Yeah. Now, Eugene, you were born in Russia. Do you ever go back to do comedy out there?
I haven't been back. I thought about that. I wanted to sort of do a documentary and go back, you know, years ago, but I actually haven't since I came here in 1979, and I actually haven't been back to Russia since.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of
comics. But also, it's sort of a lawless country, so it's you know, I don't know.
And considering the current political climate, even the stuff that had come out today, even, you know, Russia's just kind of a taboo place to go.
That's true. But I still think it'd be cool to see, like, a Russian community.
Yeah, no, it'd definitely be, cool, and it'd be really interesting. I just happened to have not gone.
And then you could put it in a comic book.
There you go.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, I'm starting to GoFundMe after this interview, pal. I don't make a lot of money, but I promise you I'll pitch in.
Great.
Yeah. So, RJ, what else is going on in the land of RJ and Eugene?
Well, I was just thinking, like, you know, Eugene, like, you going around mostly the East Coast lately this last summer for stand-up? Is that something that you're up to?
Well, I'm doing a few shows in I'm doing a show in Fort Collins and Denver, and then I'm doing like Seattle and Portland and then LA. I'm mostly actually home this summer, but I'm sort of taking some trips with my family and then timing some shows around that. Or have like, you know, for Seattle, Sub Pop is having their 30th anniversary. And so the cast of Bob's Burgers is going out for that. And so I added a show, in Portland as well, because I'll be on the West Coast. So,
We actually have a sidekick who's actually in New York right now who co-hosts the show with me, and he's like the hugest Ron Lynch fan, and he wanted me to ask you a Ron Lynch question. Do you know?
Sure. I adore Ron Lynch, and I'm very happy to answer any Ron Lynch questions.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not here, so it's going to like sound weird if I ask it, you know what I mean? But like, he has like a huge obsession with Ron Lynch.
Sure. Yeah. I'm happy to fail at answering it as well. That's why I don't mind if you ask me.
Oh, he just said that like he loves Ron Lynch, and like he goes to the Steve Allen Theater to see him all the time, and you know, mm-hmm. like Ron like always ignores him or stuff, and like I think it's borderline stalking, you know what I mean? And
okay.
And then I was like, well, there's just a time when, you know, it has to click. You know, kind of like your joke.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was trying to cheer him up like that. Say, I can't do it if he's not there.
So
it
sounds like you just have a Ron Lynch related story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he has.
Yeah.
A Ron Lynch anecdote.
Yeah, so it sounds like you know somebody who stalks Ron Lynch.
Yeah, but if you want to know the real question, the question is, does Ron smell good? So that's why
I'd say so. Yeah, that'd be offhand. I would say yes. though to be honest, I don't have a specific memory.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to like ask it, because it's like, you know.
Right. You wanted to
makes me sound perverted.
Enough, you wanted to lead up with details, and now the question, you know, falls into place.
Exactly.
His
hair, you know, like it's like, does he smell good or not? I don't know.
Ron smells both good and classy.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to work hard to smell bad anyways, so it's kind of an easy question.
It's actually a good point. You have to work hard to smell bad, like not shower.
Yep. That should be the tagline of something. I just don't know what.
It's actually the name of my comedy album coming out. You gotta work hard to smell bad.
Uh-huh.
Available exclusively in my backyard.
All right, Eugene, you just released an album last year. Like, you're like one of those guys who just like releases a whole bunch of albums. Are you gonna like how many? Like, what's your goal? Like, Louis C.K. has like, I don't know, a new hour every year.
Like, you know, so yeah, I released a special and an album maybe 2-3 years ago. I'm you know right now sort of you know doing shows and writing stuff. You know, I don't have a specific goal. I'm not trying to do, you know, a new hour every year or 2 years or whatever. So for me, you know, when I sort of had more time in certain ways and was more doing more stand-up, you know, they'd come out a little more frequently. Right now, I'm basically writing new stuff and hope sometime, you know, in the next year, year and a half or something, to do another album and special.
Yeah.
And in doing all this different stuff, obviously, in the last decade in the entertainment industry, is stand-up still, what would you describe that as, like, your favorite passion, or where is that taking place now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always sort of loved doing different things. You know, maybe 9 years ago or so, I wrote a book. I definitely, like, think of myself as a comedian, because it's something I've done the longest in sort of do the most. But I also, like, Bob's Burgers is really fun to do. I love, you know, I had a podcast for a while called Hold On that was really fun. That was sort of interviewing people, telling stories. So I don't know. I think it's doing each of these different things that's really fun. But, I do adore stand-up.
Yeah. It seems like comedy, like, is going more towards the podcasting. You know what I mean? Like, there's comedians who do shows and then they'll do a podcast after the show. Like, a live.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like there is a lot. Well, podcasting, I think, I mean, it's fun. Radio in general is fun.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty fun way to have, you know, if you can have a format and a way to joke around, you know, then, you know, talk to friends, it's pretty enjoyable.
Well, it's a way to reach the most people in a specific time, you know, I mean, podcasting, you can reach thousands and thousands of people all at once. You know, stand-up, you can only fill so many people in that theater at that exact moment in time. But yeah, I mean,
sure.
It's great to see, you know, stand up people do a whole festival, you know, just for that podcast. So it's just like those, you know, it's a panel of five comics now, and it's a podcast on the internet you can just listen to again and again.
Speaking of festivals, did you know that there's a festival named after you?
I did, yeah. Oh. I think I did it as a joke and then kept doing it.
I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he had something
actually,
to do
we
with
did
that
the last
one.
One actually, this like a year, you know, last September, and we filmed it and we're making sort of a documentary about the festival.
Oh, that's cool. So that was actually your idea.
Eugene Merman Comedy Festival?
I hope so.
No.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, it was sort of a joke I said to a friend that I produce a lot of stuff with. And I think it was after a show, and it was me, her, and Mike Birbiglia, and we were joking around, and I said I was going to do a Eugene Merman Comedy Festival. And then sort of months later, we kind of decided to actually do it as a joke. And then it was really fun, and we just basically kept doing it for a decade.
Oh, that's perfect.
that's awesome. The reason why I know about it is because, like, I'm a struggling, you know, feature comedian, you know, so it's hard to, when you're a feature, it's hard to get work because, you know, you only get the 20 minutes, you know what I mean? So you can't really grow. And they have,
sure.
They have all these festivals that you submit to, and that's where the features mostly get their work. And that, the Eugene Merman Festival came up, and I was like, oh my God, I wonder if Eugene Merman books this, you know? And I just never, and everyone's like, you should ask him. I was like, I doubt he doesn't even know it's his, you know.
No, I definitely knew about it. I mean, basically, it was a festival that was me and largely friends and, you know, sort of a joke. And I mean, meaning it was real shows and stuff.
Yeah,
but
right.
The festival was basically, you know, a group of friends putting on these different shows is largely, I think, you know, eventually we had, you know, there were comics. I had friends helping book it.
Yeah.
So there were comics that I didn't always know, but largely it was just people we knew. So it's not like anybody would come in who, like, nobody would submit to it, or I think people would try, but we didn't have like a talent scout.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant like your career in the comedy industry is so huge that, you know, they made, that's what I meant, kind of like Emo Phillips, you know what I mean, like they have a thing for him, and I don't think Emo has anything to do with it.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's what the internet's scary. You ever like Google yourself and then like, it's just weird.
I haven't in a long, long time, which I think is probably for the best. Because either you'll find something that's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's nice, or you'll find something weird and be like, well, it's too bad I'm aware of that now.
Yeah. I just,
luckily, also, social media exists, so people can just write weird things to you.
Yeah, Googling right yourself is like the Schrodinger's cat of the 21st century. It's like, you know, it's out there, but if I don't see it, then it doesn't exist. So.
That's true.
Yes.
I just Googled myself and it said, Keith Reza is awkward, says Eugene Merman. I was like, how do they know this?
That sounds very unlikely.
Oh, excellent. Cool.
That's some fake news, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very like phone interviews. I'm like, thank you for not hanging up.
Sure. I would never hang up.
We will reassure you every 5 minutes that this was a good decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I interviewed Larry Miller, and Larry Miller's like one of my favorite comics, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh my God. But he did on the phone, and I was watching the New York Knicks greatest basketball games the night before, and Larry Johnson hit that 4-point play, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I accidentally called him Larry Johnson, and he like never wanted to talk to me again.
But did he keep talking to you?
Oh, he was talking more to Allen.
No.
That's a strange read of the situation.
Yeah.
I'm happy to talk to both of you equally, where at the end you won't know who I talked to more.
Ah, excellent.
Thank you so much, Eugene Johnson. Oh, dang it.
Not a problem.
Hey, do you have any advice? Because, like, I'm single and I don't get a lot of girls, and I'm on Tinder and I don't get a lot of swipes. Do you have any advice on how I get swipes?
I'm married now, but my wife and I have been together for a while, so I've never used any of those apps.
Oh.
So like, I don't know. I mean, I get the principle of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe there, whatever's in your profile is off-putting or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which way you swipe to to get approval.
I think right is approval and left is down approval. I don't know.
Okay. Well, then
I get a lot of laughs.
See what happens. I don't really know.
Yeah. But
maybe get off Tinder and get out in the world.
But no, like I took your sex sport advice, and I tried to cover myself in glass when I was a kid, and like my family's like, what is he doing?
Oh yeah, that joke was mostly things you shouldn't do. The video was mostly things you shouldn't do.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. I know.
I didn't realize
kids
were watching it.
Yeah.
And then interpreting it quite literally. So, don't do that. Yeah, maybe go to a place. Maybe go to a quiz night. I don't really know.
Quiz night.
What do the kids call it nowadays? Test
go to
day.
A bar, pub quiz. Go to a pub quiz.
Yeah, that'd be cool. A quiz night. Do they have that?
They got like trivia nights.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's a kind of a
trivia
quiz.
Night. So, yes, right. I guess trivia night is what I mean. I don't actually mean a quiz where you could fail.
Test evening.
Like, yeah, exactly. A night of SAT prep and beer.
That would be fun. I mean, I don't know.
I've done a trivia night or two. It's a fun time. It's lighthearted. So it's like, hey, who is Keith Reyes' favorite comic? And you got to run to the front and say Larry Johnson, you know, with a little piece of paper.
That's funny.
It's a good time. Kind of on the same topic of dating, I'm curious, in this day and age and the culture and the climate, where do you feel like your comedy or just comedy in general is moving?
Well, I think in general comedy, and I think I thought this sort of, you know, when Trump was elected, I think to a degree comedy is moving in, you know, two directions together, which is some of it is becoming much more political and some of it is becoming, you know, much more silly.
Right.
And I think they sometimes intertwine and sometimes they're, you know, totally unrelated. But I think that, you know, it's very hard to avoid, you know, not that you would try to avoid the news, but like meaning it's so ever present that I think that sometimes it's, you know, you want to engage in and make fun of stuff or joke around, and then other times you want to just make some silly thing that, you know, is kind of like a breather.
Yeah, sometimes, and that's what I'm kind of curious about. I mean, obviously, you know, between, you know, politics, the political discourse, people having completely different extreme opinions on the you know, epidemic of terrible male entertainers that are, you know, being terrible sexual abusers, like all this stuff. Sometimes you want to poke fun at it and go directly at it. And sometimes you kind of just want to say, hey, let's forget about this bullshit. Like, let's be silly. Let's be fun. So it's kind of, I totally get what you're saying. Like, it's kind of crossroading sometimes, but you know, ultimately, do you feel like comedians have, a responsibility to address these difficulties in our culture?
Well, I think it depends on what the type of comic is. So, like, if you do political stuff, you should totally do it. But if you're, like, I don't know, it's like saying, like, what are the things that mime should mime? Like, does a mime have to mime about wind? Or is it okay for a mime to mime about ropes and houses?
I'm strictly a box mime, okay? I
just
stick
mean,
to my
like,
box.
You know, if political comics should absolutely engage it, and I think that engage whatever, like, they want to talk about Trump or, you know, gender issues or any of that. And then if somebody is like, does sort of like absurd stuff or even just like, you know, does a lot of, like family comedy, you know what I mean? There's some comics who like intentionally have acts that, you know, appeal sort of across politics and across, you know, age groups. So I think it depends on what you're making.
Yeah, I mean,
some things also touch upon both those things. You know, like you'll have shows that aren't explicitly, you know, about a political issue, but they definitely take a moral side in terms of gay marriage or whatnot.
Right. I mean, even take, for instance, Bob's Burgers. Like, that's a very silly, fun-loving, musical family show. And sure, like, every now and again, like, there's a clear direction as to where the show aligns itself on the political spectrum, but that's not what the show is about.
Exactly. I think the show is intentionally inclusive and gender positive and, you know, warm and sort of family-ish. And then at the same time, it's also just these stories. So I think that's sort of what I think about comedy in terms of anything can choose what it is or how it wants to be, because, you know, it'd be like, you'd never tell a musician to, I mean, people tried, like when Bob Dylan went from being political to writing other stuff, people got mad at him, but that's, you know, I think ridiculous.
Yeah. I had a question about Bob's Burgers because there's some episodes where you sing in it. Like, is that?
I know.
But like, I mean, I just don't know. But like, is that like, because, you know, your voice acting, is that considered like the same type of contract when you're singing?
Yes. Anything you do for the show is part of the thing you do for the show. But for me, I actually am sort of tone deaf and can't sing and have no, like, rhythm.
Yeah.
And so the way that we record it is that Lauren Bouchard, the creator, will basically sing a sentence and then I'll repeat it because I'm a pretty good mimic. So I can repeat each sentence and then we do it and then they kind of stitch it together to be a song.
That's perfect.
But you know, we've done it now for so long that, you know, we have a system and it's really fun to do. Yeah. But I sing about as well as an 11-year-old who can't sing. In fact, he sings better than me because it seems like he has rhythm.
So I guess the real question is, if they ever do a live-action Bob's Burgers musical, you would or would not want to be the star of Gene on stage singing?
That was actually the question.
Oh, I see. So, I mean, is it a musical for film, or is it a musical
Let's say a live production.
A live production that's, like, repeated over and over? Probably then someone else could do it. If it's a one-off, I would love to meet the challenge.
Ah. One time and then be like, I'm over it.
No, just one time is like an enjoyable experience. Doing it every day is you're asking me if I would like to do theater, and the answer is not really.
Yeah.
Would I like to do a show like, you know, 8 times a week?
Yeah.
In a theater, not particularly.
Yeah.
But I get that you think of it as singing based. I think of it as sort of everyday time based.
Yeah, that's true. It's a large amount of time that you have to do.
But you like performing a lot in like music clubs, and then,
I do, yeah.
Yeah, like, and
yes, that's mostly, well, I think in general, like, you know how you were talking about like a feature can do this or that.
Yeah.
And this is what they have. Like, I never went through any of that kind of world. I sort of found it all difficult, so I would always create my own spaces and put on my own shows and sort of promote them. So I always found that much easier. Though I definitely would try to do clubs, and then sometimes it was just like, it seemed like so inconvenient, and some places would be like, call in your avails, and then I'd never hear from them, and I was sort of like, this is pointless. It's much easier to just organize everything yourself. So out of that kind of came, you know, sort of music booking agents and touring spaces that were, you know,
yeah,
basically rock clubs. But the truth is, I also think that like stand-up comedy, you know, outside of sort of like the late 70s to the very early 90s, most stand-up comedy happened in like theaters and cabaret spaces and mixed venues.
Right.
You know, it was really, comedy clubs were sort of a thing of the 80s, and there's, you know, way less of them now, but tons of comedy now.
Yeah, but like, it seems like your venues, like, that's the audience for you, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So.
Yeah, yeah. Part of it was also like, why don't I go to the place that people who would want to see me are going to anyway?
Exactly.
You know, because a lot of people, I mean, I've had lots of people be like, oh, I'd never seen a comedian before. I think that when I began comedy, it sort of was dying, and then it had a real big resurgence as it has today. But in the sort of late 90s,
right.
early 2000s, people were, you know, thought of stand-up as something that like happened in front of a brick wall that was sort of insincere.
Yeah, exactly.
So then how did you start approaching those fans in that time who hadn't seen stand-up comedy? You just said, okay, I'm going to do a show now at a music venue, and you're here, and here am I?
Well, I mean, some of it was I was opening. You know, I opened for Stella, which was Michael Ian Black, David Wayne, and Michael Showalter. I toured with them a lot. I toured with some bands. You know, I'd done some stuff on TV, and then I put out an album and sort of did a tour in those venues. But also, you know, in general, I did, you know, tours with friends in very small places. So, like, you know, there'd be three of us who'd been on TV in some capacity, mm-hmm. you know, performing in, you know, Baltimore in a 100 or 200-seat room. And so it was, you know, you only needed to get a certain number of people to sort of start getting it going. And then
right.
as I was on more stuff, it was a little bit easier to get people to come out.
Yeah. That's the great thing about TV is, you know, people will, you know what I mean? They'll be like, oh, I seen that guy from TV. But like, see, I know,
yeah.
I know
I mean,
you
that's
from
the
your
same
stand-up.
About anything where they would be like, I know that guy from a thing I like.
Yeah.
yeah.
So you just have to make stuff people like. And actually the truth of it is the website that you were talking about, a lot of it was that for a very long time. It was people literally seeing my website or seeing videos online, you know, because
yeah.
for a long time, even when I had been on TV, you know, being on TV twice doesn't really get people to go to
right,
anything.
Right.
But videos going viral, you know, before that sort of existed, is really helpful.
Yeah, there was like a pre-internet boom where like if you had an Adobe Flash like module where you could put that into your website like yours and you could get viral, like that you were 1 in 100 for that year. Like no one else, like the Ooga Chaga Baby and Homestar Runner were like the only other things like going off. You know, so that's definitely something. And nowadays, everyone goes viral. Everyone gets, you know, millions of views. But what does that mean when everyone gets it, you know?
I mean, if you can get a million views, my guess is it's still helpful. And I bet maybe that helps you bring 40 people or 100 people or 200 people. I mean, there's plenty of YouTube stars filling rock venues who are, you know, sort of people in their 20s playing music and stuff.
Yeah. And then, like,
so I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of a fan of, I mean, you know, a fan of the idea that you can kind of make things and get them out there and get people to come to stuff by, you know, sort of relentlessly trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I have a question. Like, do you see, like, how all these, like, YouTube stars, how they're, like, they have all these followers and stuff, and then, like, you see them play comedy and they don't know what they're doing? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of...
I've heard it because I don't have, meaning I have friends who've taken their kids to see stuff and like meeting like YouTube stars in like a 2000 seat theater who kind of do these sort of, I don't know, sounds like half skit ish shows.
Yeah.
But it, you know, they're, I think that the things that the kids like is a sort of, is like kind of the personality or the connection to these YouTube stars and the, you know, I think it's just a different thing that they want.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily going to see, I mean, also, they're, I don't know, 12 years old and seeing what to me probably would seem sort of like nonsense, but maybe isn't. I have no idea.
Well, see, that was the next question is because, like, these kids are seeing it. Do you think that that's killing their mind for comedy on what comedy is? You know,
I doubt it. I mean, you know, we all had, I don't know, like
Sesame Street,
a lot of random, like, it's like, I, you know, I don't know, like a lot of random movies when we were kids that were probably terrible.
Well, it's like, you know, you grow up eating hot dogs, then you have a steak one day, you're like, where the hell has this been? This is amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you
so
get...
lots of people, you know, lots of kids like New Kids on the Block when they're kids, and then when they grow up, they're just sort of like, oh, actually, I think I like the Rolling Stones more now.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. Yeah. I think also, in general, the goal is to find the audience that'll like you.
Right.
So if an audience likes some weird YouTube thing, I don't think that sort of matters, because what you're really trying to do is find the people who you connect with, not trying to get people to not connect with a different thing.
Oh, that's great advice.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are you going to write another book? You should write another book.
I'll probably write another book at some point. Yeah, that's my hope.
I think he's going to write a stand-up comic book. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Probably the only thing, that's probably the thing I won't do, but I will probably write another book at some point and hope to start working on it in the next few years.
At least we have a recording of you saying, this is the only thing I won't do.
Yeah.
And so when it does happen...
I added the word probably.
You're right. That's true.
I'd hate to change my mind and then have been wrong about a fairly not big deal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you'd be wrong and you'd have a weird comic book with stand-up in it. So.
Yep.
Yeah, but that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I had another. The thing I was. Because in your comedy, like I don't want to say the company names because I don't know if you're at peace with them and stuff, but you've done.
I both am and happy to talk about it. I don't care.
Oh, okay. Well, like Delta Airlines and stuff, you know, where you have a joke where you'd pass out your CDs and, like, there would be a card that says F Delta Airlines or something.
Oh, yeah. I had, like, a postcard. I feel like I sent them. I mean, I handed out, like, around 20,000 postcards at various shows.
Did they ever, like...
Doing this bit. I never heard from them. In fact, the only time I ever heard from them is that I got a call. It was sort of after that time. I can't remember how long, like, after that bit, but maybe, like half a year, 2 years, somewhere in, like, a kind of reasonable range where they called about doing an interview for their, like, I think they had a comedy issue of their in-flight magazine, and I kind of was like, oh, maybe we'll get to talk about this, and then they never, like, it somehow never, they never mentioned it, which also led me to believe that they're such a giant organization This is also before, like, the internet and viral.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Not before the internet, but before, like, social media.
Before they would apologize on Twitter for a little thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. Meaning, like, now if I did a bit like that, I'm sure that Delta would see it through social media. But
right.
at the time, it was literally me physically handing out stuff. And most people would largely keep the postcards, though some people would send them to Delta. you know, yeah, but also, I've since flown Delta, and actually they've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, and they just figured at the time, like, well, yeah, we get this kind of stuff all the time, so it could be anybody. We don't care.
I don't know that, yeah, I mean, I doubt that they would get a comedian having audience members mail them, like, thousands upon thousands of postcards. But they probably did get complaints all the time.
Yeah.
But they're a little better. I forget, there was somebody else. No,
Fleet,
some places
Fleet
are probably
Bank?
Still terrible.
Yeah.
Say it again?
Yeah, Fleet Bank?
Oh, yeah, well, that got, you know,
yeah.
subsumed into, got that's, I think, now part of Bank of America.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Well, I mean, now I'm just also aware that, I mean, also I now pay my credit card bill, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I am now more aware of, like, if I were to ever settle with a credit card company, which I hope never has to happen again, that I would make sure that they sent me proof, and I would keep that proof, and I would, you know, because they essentially resold my debt, and I had no proof that we had fully settled.
Oh, wow.
Which is how they trick people, obviously.
Right.
And then he was like, "Can I still go to jail?"
Yeah.
Eugene, you're like a huge inspiration to a lot of comics out here, and even though I know you're in Boston, but like that's how your comedy affects the world. I think it's a beautiful thing. Did you know that you had it, like, you really inspire a lot of, you know, comedians out here?
Not specifically, but that's very nice to hear.
Yeah, you inspire me and RJ, and thank you very much for doing the interview, pal.
Oh, sure. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and I hope to see you Wednesday, man. If I see you Wednesday and I, like, buy a postcard, will you, like, can I send it to Delta?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that bit anymore, so I don't, and I would just give you a postcard. I probably wouldn't sell it. But if I have anything to sell, you're welcome to buy it.
Excellent.
And you're also welcome to say hello.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eugene. I really appreciate
sure.
it, pal.
Thank you guys both. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye. That was the great Eugene Merman. That was awesome.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, that was probably the best phone interview I've ever done.
I told you, man. It's the reverse Friday the 13th magic.
Yeah. I had to end it a little short because I actually have a meeting at 1 o'clock.
No way.
Yeah, and then the Sam, like, lit me.
Oh.
There's a light, and I like, on the thing.
So,
like,
you're not going to run the light like
I always do run the light, but I do actually have a meeting, and I, you know. So, yeah, I had to, like, run it off, and I have to, like, get ready to go because traffic. But,
quick question. I mean, while we're ending it, I know you want to get sponsors for the show. If people want to sponsor you, where should they go?
Oh, just email RezaRiffs@gmail.com and or KeithReza.com. But I got to mention Eugene's tour one more time for the folks. On Wednesday, July 18th, he'll be in L.A. at the Dynasty Typewriter. On the 7th of August, he'll be at Fort Collins at Washington's. On the 8th of August, he'll be at Denver at their Oriental Theater. On the 9th, he'll be in Portland at Damn. I feel like I swallowed a bug. It's not good when you have a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more time from the top. Hi, welcome to Razor Riffs. My name is...
Let's call Eugene. No, on the 9th, he's performing in Portland, Oregon at the Aladdin Theater. And on the 10th of August, he's playing in Seattle at the Moore Theater at Sub Pop 30th Anniversary Show, which is a benefit show. Tickets can be bought on EugeneMerman.com, which is one of the best sites ever. And you could follow him on Twitter at EugeneMerman. .com, Instagram, and Facebook at Mr. Eugene Merman. Now, RJ, is there anything where the folks can follow you?
Yeah, I'm all over the social medias. You could find me on Twitter at RJ Signs. You can find me at Instagram at RJ Signs. You can find me at Facebook at RJ Signs. And if
not
you're
Mr. RJ Science?
No, Mr. RJ is my father.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. So basically, I used to do a podcast, but it's still on the air. Could come back, never know. But if you like comedy and you like hearing my stupid voice all the time, I have a podcast called Why Am I Laughing? Talk about comedy, talk about all your favorite movies and TVs and comedy guys, and it's a fun time.
And then when we come back, Alan Lee will be here. And like the reason why I love Alan is because makes it seem like I'm the normal one and I'm not the awkward one. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. Who's awkward? You're not awkward.
I think I did pretty good today.
Yeah, yeah.
Phone interviews are tough.
I mean, for as hard as a phone interview is, like, it's like, just try to visualize Eugene at the table, like, talking to him. Like, we all did fine. That was a good time.
Oh, well, you. Let's get on.
No.
I didn't say you did fine. I'm talking about me.
No, you did fine. You did great.
Yeah, this is Razor Riffs, pal.
Yeah, I know.
But no. I thought it was funny because, like, Sam was like, you want to go on Facebook Live? I was like, it's a phone interview.
You should have done it.
Really?
What's the harm?
I don't know.
Hey, you know what? We're too good for you, Facebook Live.
Well, it's like, who are these guys talking to? Because,
people.
You know, so Facebook Live is better when the guest is in studio.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Because now it just looks like we're just like pushing 10.
We're not?
Pushing 10 is a John Cusack movie, 1989.
Wow.
Billy Bob Thornton, Angelina Jolie, Jake Weber.
Must love dogs.
Love Must Love Dogs. It's one of my favorites. He has, not to end on John Cusack, now, I really gotta go, but John Cusack's note, his last movie that just came out, it was called, I don't remember what it was called, because...
It's a weird name for a movie.
Yeah, but I'm a huge John Cusack fan, as you know.
Of course.
This one was absolutely 100% terrible.
Okay.
Like, he's top billed, and he's only in it for 2 scenes.
He can only go up from there.
Yeah, like, I want John Cusack. I don't want Christina Ricci. You know what I mean? Like, come on. All right, guys, if you like the show, subscribe to us on Razor Riffs, Twitter, Instagram. Once again, thank you so much, Eugene Merman. You can follow him on social media at Eugene Merman. And Mr. Eugene Merman is his Facebook page. He'll be in L.A. on Wednesday. And, you know, his website is www.eugenemerman.com. It was a great interview. Thanks again, RJ, for filling in.
Anytime.
And I'm Keith Razor. We'll see you later, guys. Oh, man, that was awesome.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.